The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talk the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
You get through tomorrow, you're a fourth of the, 25% of the season behind you. Isn't it amazing how quick it happens?
It's kind of depressing.
Well, I know. That's, you know, you'll have three of your 12 games done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, you think about, well, you're still trying to figure out what this team is, what they're about, statistics, who the dadgum quarterback's supposed to be. And you're a fourth. I mean, put it in football terms. The first quarter of the season will end after the game tomorrow.
It's crazy.
I mean, it just sneaks up on you.
Mm-hmm. And it's you wait all off season long, yeah, counting down the days. We had the Bud Light countdown, yeah, on our IDs every single day. And then once, yeah, it gets here, it's almost as gone as quickly as it came. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm, that quick. And yeah, that is an amazing stat. And I mean, and it's just funny for a team, particularly in this case, Arkansas, where they have so many things that we still do not know. We still have yet to figure out. Now, I know two games can be sometimes difficult to figure a lot of things out, but we're still figuring out positions. I mean, there's still a lot of positions on here where you're waiting for somebody to step up. You're waiting for somebody to be the starter. And you mentioned, brought up the quarterback situation where they still don't have it figured out. I mean, you don't have any go-to wide receivers right now. There's the offensive line for the most part, but there's still some moving around, mainly due to the injury factor. You have a team of committee running backs that you feel like they can all play. So it's just almost like when you're looking at it from the perspective of before the season started and what you're looking at right now after two games, it's almost like you still have the same questions. You have the same concerns. You have the same wonder of what this team is, what this team's got, who they got, what they're doing, where they're going. And maybe we'll have more figured out against North Texas tomorrow. But it really comes down to the fact that the quarterback situation is still completely up in the air, and we don't know who we don't even know who the starter is. Chad Morris never has a name to starter. So we don't know who that's going to be. We don't know how much they're going to play. I'm just curious, though, knowing how much this game means to this season, where it's essentially everything's on the line in this game. I'm just curious to see how Chad Morris and his staff, bouncing back from last weekend, is going to make those adjustments and go in here with a game plan to try to get out of there with a victory. Because if you have a quarterback situation where neither Ty Story nor Cole Kelly is playing particularly well, especially if they play like they did last weekend against Colorado State, you have to go a different direction, right? You don't just leave either one of those guys through three games if neither of them can figure it out or step up. You got to give somebody else a shot, right?
But we agree we trust what coaches see, right?
I agree with that.
They,
yeah,
know more than us.
They sure do.
And there's a reason they haven't went that direction yet. I mean, I agree. You know, definition of insanity, we all know what that is. And you keep doing this with these two guys and getting the same result, and we should go find a steel beam to beat our head against.
Let's, yeah,
just, you know, till it quits hurting. But at the same time, it can be worse. I mean, that's the thing. We trick ourselves as fans to think, well, it can't get any worse.
Oh, it can. Watch it.
Wrong answer there, vomit breath. You know, because we get, you know, we think, well, it can't get any worse than Bielema. Now, I think it's going to get better soon, but we may live through some short-term pain here to get to better.
Serious, you know, pain.
Don't ever say it can't get worse as a sports fan.
Especially when it comes to Arkansas. I mean, you just can't have it that way. You can't have that mentality. And, you know, this game will define it just how much worse it is, mm-hmm, or can be. Because you already dropped one to Colorado State.
That's right.
If you drop this game to North Texas at home,
could Connor Nolan or John Stephen Jones, could one of those guys be the quarterback of the future? Absolutely.
Of course.
But they may not be, you know, may still be that green tomato on the vine that's got weeks and weeks of, you know, growing to do before you can go pick it.
Yeah, they might. That, I don't know. It's just because with this game against North Texas, you have so many different things that are moving around, especially with the offense and the defense and the collapse in the fourth quarter, and you know, obviously Chad Morrison, you know, having to work through that. I'm just trying to, like, I had somebody tweet me yesterday, Tommy, that asked me, give me some reason to believe that Arkansas is going to be fine in this game and win. Give me a reason. And Tommy, I was searching. I can't just confidently with 100% say that this is the one really good reason why Arkansas will win tomorrow.
They're playing at home? Question mark.
When has that ever come
they're
to
playing
play?
At home? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and that's crazy to me. That's craziness against a team like North Texas. And that's not to say Arkansas won't win. I'm not saying that at all. They can win. But when it comes to just feeling 100% confident, knowing what North Texas has on offense, knowing what Arkansas's weaknesses are, I just can't point to one thing and say, this is why Arkansas is going to win tomorrow.
Well, and that's why this last week has been a reality check for all of us. Because there should there ever really be a time where having these type of discussions as an SEC program about a North Texas game?
No.
I mean, no. I mean, the answer, do you think they were worried a week ago or even having conversation at all about the opponent when Alabama was playing Arkansas State? No. You know, and it's just almost ridiculous that we're even having to have these conversations.
Even entertaining the idea.
Yeah. But
it shows how far the program is, the hole has fallen.
That's what I mean. Back to the words reality check, you know. I don't think our conversations are overblown or misstated or out of line. It's just the reality check of how far the rebuilding is. And Mike Irwin was on yesterday afternoon with those guys and in the afternoon show and talking about, you know, where Arkansas has fallen just in the division and within the conference. And he made the statement that, you know, Arkansas is now, you know, a mile behind the rest of the league and you've fallen behind Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And I can't disagree with Mike on that.
I can't either. Even though you've beaten Ole Miss four straight times, but still.
But as a program?
As a program in general.
You know, you've got some catching up to do. I mean, right now, Chad Morris is getting this baby back on track. But tell me what program in the West, let's just
specifically
talk
the West.
Divisions and the six teams you're going to play every year. Whose program are you better than right now? Because for years, you were better than both Mississippi schools' programs. They'd beat you here and there, and, you know, Arkansas had a good long run against Mississippi State. But right now, are you better than either one of those programs? Your recruiting's not. Your wins haven't stacked up as much, even though you've had, like you said, some head-to-head wins over them. They've had better seasons. And, I mean, it's not even a conversation. We're not going to talk about Bama, Auburn, LSU. I mean, you might talk about A&M, but they beat your brains in for
six straight years now. Jeez.
And they got a $75 million coach, new state. You know, their program's in a better spot. So, I mean, the reality is, and we don't like to think about it, Rick from Fort Smith called in and said, we're second to none. And we all said, You know, facilities-wise, you might be right. You know, there's a lot about the campus and the university that might be second to none. But the football program right now is broken.
Well, even,
it has to get fixed.
Even some we talked about yesterday with that Forbes article about the revenue that it brings in. You maybe want to refer to that, is it? Because it does bring in a lot of money.
13th to none.
Yeah, 13th to none when it comes to, in general, to the college football scene. But which I agree with you as far as stacking up in the SEC West. But here's the other question I'll flip it on you. Who should they be ahead of? Well, obviously, we think that they should be ahead of the Mississippi schools in the
if
West.
If you could get it all rolling and all going right now in the world we're living in the West, fourth or fifth probably is, I mean, as good as it's going to get.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is even because, at its best.
Because are you going to be better than, as far as a program? And I don't mean seasons. I mean the long
general
haul
program.
General program than Bama? No. LSU? No.
Auburn?
Auburn? No.
A&M, no.
A&M.
But yet fifth.
Not consistently. Now,
best
that,
case.
Now, again, that doesn't mean, don't mishear what I'm saying.
That doesn't mean
2010 and 2011 can't happen again. That doesn't mean everything can't line up and you can't reel off two two or three seasons of nine or more wins. And maybe that changes. But you know, just because of recruiting bases, just because of stadium size, funding, you know, we can go down a list of all the factors that go into it. But what you can't be, and what Arkansas is better than, is DAL in the division. I'll tell you what that means.
I'm about to say, that's going over my head
right
now.
Too.
Dead bleeping last.
Ah, gotcha. Yes. So, you know, it's reality and an expectation. And that's what's tough about this division in the SEC, and then Arkansas's in it. And that's what makes it even more scary for Razorback fans is just how far behind you are right now.
Dead butt last. How about that? I can say that on the radio. Okay?
Yeah. Well, think about when Arkansas first came in the league. The East was the strength of the league. Yep. Tennessee, Florida. That's who decided.
And Georgia, even.
Yeah, and Georgia. That was who was going to the national championship.
It was Tennessee and Florida, yeah.
But when Texas A&M was added to the West is arguably as heightened as it's ever been.
When Nick Saban was added to the West.
And, well, Nick Saban, but that you think about that, there was a little.
And you're right. The dynamics changed.
Yeah, the overall quality.
The weird thing was when Missouri was added to the East, that changed the dynamics to the East short term. And they dominated. They went to the championship game a couple of times.
The East was down because
East was down. They went, but they were a good football team when Pinkel was the coach there.
Yeah,
A&M has not done in the West what I thought they would have to this point. They haven't climbed into the Auburn and LSU category to be at least a sparring partner with Alabama.
They backtracked since someone was there. You think about his first year, 11-2, and then they just progressively went downhill.
They were just a perennial 7-5 team, essentially. But
we'll see if last week was, even though they lost, was fool's gold.
They look good in losing.
Yeah, or whether they're on their way.
Yeah, if that
under
was even,
the $75 million man.
Yeah, if that's even possible. But, you know, and it also, and it's crazy to think that there was one time, and you could disagree, but there was one time where I feel like Arkansas football program was on the level, at least of Auburn. You know, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, but Auburn grew out of that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it can change. It's cyclical. But right now, doesn't look like there's any end on the horizon for Arkansas.
I know this. It can't change fast when you're losing to Colorado State and North Texas. So you better beat North Texas.
Yeah. Try to get that at least here in the beginning.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Let's go to the phone lines. Former Razorback defensive lineman Raymond House joins us on the show. Good morning, Raymond. How's it going this morning, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How about y'all?
Well, we're doing awesome, too, and we're just pumping ourselves up for North Texas, or at least trying to do the best of our ability. And it's just, you know, after last weekend's letdown against Colorado State, going into this game, I don't think anybody really feels 100% confidence in Arkansas's chances here. But what do you just think of the matchup with Arkansas, especially defensively and going up against their offense? Mason Fine is a great quarterback. He's put up a lot of yards, a lot of numbers. You never want to be scared, but he's definitely somebody that Arkansas is going to have to deal with defensively.
No, absolutely. This is a situation that I know Arkansas, especially from a defensive perspective, has to be concerned. Essentially, what amounts to be the most prolific offense in the country statistically right now, coming into your backyard and wanting to kind of put more salt on the wound after coming off a disappointment. But I think it should be a Razorback team, especially defensively, that should be very motivated coming in this week and try to get some redemption in some more comfortable confines of Razorback Stadium.
You know, one thing that gets, I think, glossed over from last week is Dre Greenlaw and Randy Ramsey were not on the field. They are back for this week. What do they mean to this defense? What do you think it means for this week and the defensive performance?
I mean, they mean them being a part of this game plan is very huge. Just one, from the leadership perspective, it's one thing to kind of lead from the sideline. It's another thing to be able to lead from the field through your play, through your tenacity, through your energy. And I think that's something that both those players would give you. You've got a tackling machine in Dre Greenlaw, and what I hope to believe, a very disruptive force, especially in the pass rush with Randy Ramsey. They both know that they have to come and bring their A game. This is not a situation where this Arkansas team can just rest on their laurels and kind of take it easy because it's a non-conference. This is very much so a team that's in transition, and I expect them to show their hand a little bit more defensively to ensure that they can secure this win this week.
Speaking with Raymond House, former Razorback defensive lineman right now in the Morning Rush. Raymond, last weekend against Colorado State, I just want your thoughts on it. Late in the game, and we've seen it before, the defense played really well to start, but late they had a collapse as well as the entire team. It wasn't just on the defense. But as a former defensive player, what do you feel like was the main cause of that when you're watching the game? Was it fatigue, mentally, physically? I mean, as a defense, how do you let something like that happen, or how does something like that happen where you play so well, and then at the end of the game, it just slips away from you?
I think it's a combination of all of those things. I think this team may have really underestimated the impact of the elements and the elevation on their conditioning and how fast and hard they're able to play in the third and fourth quarter. And we know that that's when you actually win games. And I think they possibly could have ran out of gas toward the end. You definitely didn't see the fire off and the pop and the explosion that you saw in the first half and the second half. And definitely part of it was mental. You've got to believe that there's some complacency that set in. All right, we've got a non-conference team on the ropes, down 18 in the third quarter. We should be able to cruise and just go through the motions to be able to get the win, and that definitely was not the case because they still were playing a motivated team that was definitely used to the elements and were still playing hard throughout all four of the quarters. And I think part of that complacency could possibly set in with the coaching staff as well, too. I like the idea of them being a lot more aggressive in the third and fourth quarter once you've got somebody on the ropes. You've got to get there and get the knockout and take them out and don't give them a chance to hang around and stay in the game. And I think that's something that I think this coaching staff will take to heart on both sides of the ball as far as how they lead these players and what they motivate them through the play calling. I definitely expect some aggression through four quarters to ensure that you get this win this week because they know it's a must-win, this situation.
Absolutely.
And it's tough to say that. To say that so early in the season, having a must-win.
Again, particularly with an opponent of this level. You know, adversity like last week can oftentimes lead to dissension amongst coaches, a dissension in the locker room with the players. I would think being closely knit, staying together no dissension is really important for this team right now.
No, absolutely. This is a situation where, I imagine this coaching staff is probably encouraging these players to stay off social media and getting off of hearing all the noise and all the negative content. You've got to stay together. You've got to be as more together as you ever have before, because especially in those instances where you have to deal with adversity and you have to deal with tough times, it's a tough situation for, you know, you being an SEC team, to be able to take a loss to a non-Power 5 conference team. And that's definitely something that can be sort of a sore spot. But they've got to make sure that they have it, just the same short memory you have in victory, you have to have that same short memory in defeat as well. Learn from your mistakes and then move forward and make sure you make the application to close those gaps that exist and go out this next week and show that last week was just a small point of just special cause variance that couldn't get them to the point where they could win it, but show that you're a much better team this week.
Raymond, I mean, are the problems that they had against Colorado State, when you saw it, are those things that can be, I guess quick fixes might be the easiest way to put it, but something that you can have changed around and fixed in a week? Does it take a little time? I mean, just from the things in the mentalities perspective especially, can they get it turned around that quickly?
Things like intensity and making sure that you pay attention to details, you know that you give 100% effort, those things can be fixed quickly. Now, this team still has to do some things as far as personnel is concerned, as far as getting the comfort that they need with what they're trying to do. Everything is still very brand new and they're still learning on the go, both coaches and players. Those things are going to take time, but I definitely expect to, at least from an effort and intensity perspective, see a strike difference through four quarters this week.
Let me ask you a little more inside question, and I mean inside by defensive line, too. Sosa Ageem had to work outside with Ramsey's absence last week. Now with him back and more flexibility with Sosa Ageem, what does that do for the defensive front, and what do you expect this week in their attack up front, having a more full complement with their personnel?
Yeah, having somebody that's versatile with Ageem allows them to play with special situations because you know you've got somebody that can cover some certain bases. If you have your defensive ends that are more adept to pass rush, you're able to slide a guy like him that even in a run case situation, he's able to hold point there, but also be able to win a one-on-one battle in a pass rush situation on the inside, as well as if you get to a situation where you need to anchor the point and have a bigger body on the outside, you have him that can do that. You can get some lean some more of your super big bodies like, you know, Watts and, you know, in the inside and Smith, and be able to kind of leverage all of the personnel. You may not necessarily have all of the guys that can do everything every single down, but when you have some versatility with the game, you're able to put guys in better situations, and that only leans itself to what happens on the back end, which is where it's going to be a lot more concerned as well. You know, within coverage, you're able to do some things as far as zone blitzes and be able to have some options in the back end to be able to do some things and give those guys some more time, or actually decrease the amount of time they have to be in coverage.
And what have you seen from Armon Watts' game? He has gotten a lot of attention this week and praise from the coaches with the way his game is elevated. What are you seeing when you watch him on tape?
He's a big body guy in the inside that consistently is disruptive. He's that guy, I think, that is setting the tone as far as physicality and enforcing his will and setting the tone as far as that front seven is concerned. He's the guy that you know that you have to game plan for at this point. You've got to put a couple of bodies to get him moved, because if not, he's going to make sure that somebody's uncomfortable in that backfield, whether it's quarterback or running back.
Now, I think with Watts and Agheem and Randy Ramsey back out there all together at the same time, that's got to make John Chavis feel a lot better.
Absolutely, and I think that's a group of guys that's looking forward to it. Nobody's going to be sore and bitter about the loss from last week and those guys up front, you know, because I know they definitely pride themselves on being impactful in the game. They think they're going to look to do that this week as well.
All right, Ram, before we let you get out of here, just kind of give us your thoughts of what you think goes down tomorrow. How does the team look? Do they bounce back? Do they get the victory? Just what do you expect out of the Razorbacks?
Yeah, this is a situation that I think that they will bounce back and get the victory, but it will not be one of those ones that's going to be just easy as you would think in the preseason, non-Power 5 at home. It's going to be a situation that's definitely going to be challenged on the outside. This is a team that's definitely going to put your breathing to the test with trying to run a lot of plays. So, but I think this is one that is probably closer than what we would like to be comfortably, but I think they're able to edge it out. You know, based on the you know, the motivation and the impact of the crowd, along with you know, having some more motivation to really, you know, remedy what they felt with that disappointment from last week.
Raymond House, former Razorback defensive lineman, always appreciate you joining us, Raymond. Great stuff, man. Looking forward to catching up with you tomorrow on the pregame show.
All right, thank you guys for having me.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Just want to let everybody know that we're going to do our fence man picks, and I'm leading the pack, and I'm going to jump back as much as I can.
We don't care, you're leading.
I care. Yeah. Someone cares. My mom cares. Pleasure.
Fenceman Friday football picks. Call the Fenceman for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fenceman. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, we got a few games to get into. It's a good slate for college football, especially in the SEC. So,
I was just saying, we got the fence man here.
Oh, yeah, we got the fence man.
Say hello. Let him say hi.
Hey, folks, how are you?
Good. Yeah. You got to pick it up.
Yeah, you do.
You had a rough week last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, I know. But, you know, here's the thing, though. We have these bonus points help. And
it's probably my week to have a bad.
Well, see, that's the thing. We're just guessing over here, okay? We're just throwing it out. We're seeing if it sticks. So don't feel like, because that's the thing is,
it'll be your turn to poke fun next week, probably.
Yeah, because some people have tweeted at us, and it was just like, are you like a really big better? Do you look at all the different things and elements? And I'm like, yeah, let me tell you. I look at my app, and I say, I feel good about this game.
Vegas just flies planes out here to carry our money back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's essentially all it is. So, all right, let's get into some of these games, Ty. We got a few of them. Let's start. Where do we want to start with this one?
Let's start with Ohio State and TCU, Buckeyes and the Horned Frogs going down to Dallas, Texas to play in AT&T Stadium. Buckeyes favoring 13 in this one. I want to reiterate the standings right now. John's got 4 points. Tommy's got 3 points. Tyler's got 2 points. Vince, man, you're dragging a little bit. You got 1 point, man. Come on.
Yeah,
where are you going with this
week? I'm trying to pick it up this week.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State.
Taking the Buckeyes? Minus 13. John?
Simple enough. I'm actually going to go with TCU. I'm gonna risk that.
Yep.
I like TCU. I think that Gary Patterson's one of the finer coaches, maybe an underrated coach in college football. plays really well. I know it's not in their backyard, but it's really close by.
It's in their backyard.
Yeah. I mean,
right there.
It is. And then they got still don't have Urban Meyer there at Ohio State. So got to go with the Horned Frogs.
Tyler or Tommy, either way.
I'll go. Urban Meyer's back at practice, though, right?
Yeah.
So they got him, but he's not at the games. I still think they got a lot to prove. They got, you know, Burr under their saddle. I'm with Fence Man on this one.
All right.
Give me Ohio State and lay the points.
All right, so it's going to be John and Tyler.
There you go.
Fence Man and Tommy. So I got TCU in this one. I think they keep the margin of victory. Right. I still think Ohio State wins. I just don't think it's going to be 13 points.
All right, so there you have it.
All righty, next game, Auburn LSU. This one's going to be played down in Jordan Air Stadium. Auburn is a 10-point favorite in this one.
Ooh.
I think it's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is a lot of points.
I'm gonna take LSU in response.
Okay, interesting. This one's I'm struggling with it. I really am. I'm gonna take Auburn. I think that playing it at home, I still don't. I saw Coach Eddie O and the performance his team had against Miami was really impressive. But Auburn has looked more impressive to me, and I think that defensive front is going to cause some problems for LSU's offense. So give me Auburn. I'm gonna take them.
You know, I'm kind of feeling the same way, John. I just don't know the young quarterback everybody got all excited about last week at LSU, right? I watched the replay of the game. I watched what he was doing. I don't think he goes into Auburn and tears it up. I mean,
yeah.
I got Auburn by 10 or more. I'll take Auburn in the points.
He's not Tyler Wilson. He can't. Torching Auburn defense.
I'm not saying anything about their defense. I'm just saying. At a certain point, their offense is powerful enough. I don't see them scoring. I think Auburn could score 50 points in this football game. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, who you rolling with?
Well, I've been burned once already on Orgeron by going against him, thinking this buffoon can't coach, and been shown otherwise. So I'm torn, man.
Who?
Against Miami.
Miami.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought, well, you got Mark Richt and you got Orgeron. Oh, give me Mark Richt. That's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
So you're going with LSU. Oh.
So you got...
I got Auburn. Me and Tyler got Auburn. He's got Auburn. He's got LSU, so...
I'll roll with the fence, man. Give me LSU.
Okay.
I do think Auburn wins straight up.
Splitting the difference again.
I think it's John and I.
That's right.
Tommy and fence, man.
Certainly what it sounds like. All right, Ty, what's the next one?
All right, the big game on Saturday, Arkansas and North Texas. Hawks favored by 7 in this one.
The fact that we're even having to talk about this game.
Yeah.
The fact that the line is even 7.
Yep. Fence, man, how you feeling about it?
I don't know how I feel about it, but I'm a Hog fan, so I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to cover it.
Okay.
Whew.
I'm dying on this one. I'm going to regret this.
We're going to get emotional, aren't we?
I know. I'm going to regret this. Give me the Razorbacks, Ty. Give me the Razorbacks to win. I'm hopeful for a turnaround. I'm hopeful for a bounce back. I'm hopeful for a very good, well-put-together four-quarter game from Chad Morris. Give me the Razorbacks to win by more than 7. I got that. That's you, Tyler.
Guys, I can't pick North Texas. I can't do that.
That's all I am, man.
Guys, even though that's probably if I'm going to the booth, that's probably what I'm picking. But Razorbacks cover the points.
Right. Yeah. So heart or head?
That's the key.
What do we go with here? Do I pick heart over head? Heart says,
Tommy, you gamble here. You're the only one that gets.
I know. I see an opening here.
Yeah.
So I can go with my heart and go with the Razorbacks. I mean, I got, we know what we bleed here. Or the heady pick, and I got a chance to go mow. Give me North Texas. Give me North Texas. Looking for the edge. You're going for the inside lane.
Yeah. Well, you have 3 points now, so if you lose this one, it's not going to kill you, but. Could be detrimental in the end.
Or it could be what I need to get a catapult to the front.
Yeah. So essentially.
Roll of the dice.
That's right.
Yeah,
so,
roll of the dice.
Hey, I respect your game there. So, all right. So we do these bonus points.
The score differential between Alabama at Ole Miss, Bama favored by 21 in this one.
S-
but we're going to do the score differential like we have done
here's
the past few weeks.
Ole Miss is so tough. We saw how many points they give up against Southern.
It was like
Illinois.
40, 50.
Yeah, close
50.
To 50 points, yeah.
And the problem is, I don't know, like, everybody just goes, oh, Southern Illinois, there's a problem with Ole Miss defense. Southern Illinois has a really good offense. I like the head coach, and I like the quarterback. They knew what they were doing offensively. I don't know. That's tricky. I don't know if Alabama obviously Alabama's really, really good offensively, but my pick is what was the number?
21 points.
21.
Yeah.
So you can pick any score differential.
Alabama covers.
And what number?
Yeah, so
24 points, Alabama.
All right.
24 for Tyler. Jeremy?
I think it gets worse than that. Alabama, 35.
All right.
35, going bold. High.
Bold. Oh, you want high. I'm going with 45.
No way.
Yep.
You're not winning the bonus points this week.
All right. 45? 45 points.
You realize Ole Miss has one of the most potent offenses in the country.
That's fine. They're going up against Alabama.
All right, Tommy, you're going to go on.
Give me 25, Bob. Give me 25.
Yeah, split that. No one had the guts to take Ole Miss winning. No.
We might be gutsy, but we're not crazy.
No. I regretted not picking Bama against Louisville, and I'm going to ride Bama until the very end and always say they're going to blow out no matter who they play.
All right, let's go over these games again. For TCU, John and Tyler have TCU covering. Jeremy and Tommy have Ohio State. LSU, Jeremy and Tommy. Auburn, John and Tyler. Arkansas, everyone but Tommy going with North Texas in that one. For the Bama's Ole Miss score differential, Tyler's got 24 points. Tommy's got 25 points. John's got 45 points, and Jeremy's got 35 points. So it might shake. We might have a little separation after this week.
Separation Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm leading the pack, so I'm hopefully. But see, me and Tyler are on the same page here, so me and him might either be able to make some real progress.
Going up or going down again.
Yeah. We're going to figure it out.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.